Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
There is no better group of plants for flower power than forms of the shrubby potentilla.
Hello and welcome to This Week in the Garden. I'm Peter Seabrook, here to help with some of your gardening quandaries. Every week we try and spread the word and provide gardening news and updates. And my guest later on does exactly the same. He's one of the top journalists and authors within the horticultural industry. It's Matt Appleby. My thanks to Sutton Seeds, sponsors of this podcast. At the Royal Horticultural Society London Orchid Show and Plant Fair last weekend, a Dubliner who's been living in London for over 20 years came out of the crowd and said to me how much he liked our podcasts. Boy, we need those sort of remarks. You know, it's a bit lonely sitting here and you sometimes wonder whether there's anybody at the other end. But apparently he quite enjoys our podcast. But carelessly, in the cool of the moment, I didn't take his name. So, Dubliner, if you care to send me a note with your name and address, I'll send you a little memento of our meeting. It'll probably be the shrub book. The Shrubs for Everyone is a bit different because it's the only gardening book, I believe, that was set to music. And we use one of the pieces from the cantata that was written by Anthony Bremner called Potentilla. So if you've wondered what that music is, it's Potentilla and it comes from the shrub book. This continuous showery weather is a real pain. I'm getting way behind in my garden. On those days when it is dry and sunny, then of course I'm away from home, really frustrating. And then when I do have a day at home, it's much too wet to do anything. And on my heavy soil, the last thing you want to be doing is treading about on it when it's wet. So I'm hopeful that this Saturday and Sunday forecast looks as if we might have a dry spell. Need to get quite a lot of stuff sown. Our industry doesn't stand still. You just notice in the last few days that Bayer, the big giant chemical company, has bought Monsanto, the American company. It'll make the world's largest seed and pesticide supplier. I don't know how you feel about this global amalgamation, but it seems to be going whatever we do. Back in our own gardens, we'll just potter on. And I think growing our own is going to gain strength over the coming months and years. On TV recently, a presenter was showing how to grow potatoes in pots using a recycled compost bag as one of the containers, which is good enough, works quite well. But what they didn't seem to notice was that the plastic bag happened to be white. It had been used to hold bark chips. Now, if you grow things in white polythene, then, of course, it lets the light through. And in the case of potatoes, all those tubers that form close to the bag will, I'm afraid, go green and be edible. So if you have followed that particular bit of TV advice, all I can suggest is you find a big black pot and drop the bag into it. And if you're looking for a pot bag, then make sure that it is one of the compost bags that's black on the inside and coloured on the out, and you can just turn it inside out so you just have a black, light excluding outdoor cover. If you want to see the way that we grow potatoes in bags, then we've just shot a little short video on sungardening.co.uk. Really, the video was recorded in part because we got 16,000 primary schools all growing potatoes. I just hope that somebody's been going in to water those that are in pots over the Easter holiday. Otherwise, they're going to be a little bit wilted. Forking through a bit of soil I came across one or two gladiolus corms that hadn't been lifted from last season, and they were starting to make root. And that's a pretty good indication for me that you can certainly plant gladiolus now quite safely. But you need to remember that the larger the corm, the earlier it will be to flower. And the smaller sizes, which are often in pre-packs on sale at garden centres and elsewhere, they take longer to flower. So if you're growing a variety and you want a succession of flowers of that colour, well then mix some large corms in with the smaller ones. And also, if you plant at 14-day intervals from now through to the end of May, that will help to give you succession in flowering too.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
We have a very important person in the horticultural trade for our interview today, Mr. Matthew Matt Appleby. Actually, to let you in on a secret, I think originally he was a primary school teacher and now deputy editor of Horticulture Week. That's our main trade magazine for the whole of the horticultural industry. And you might have seen some of his columns in the Daily Telegraph. And he has a very good book on children's gardening. Matt, thanks for giving us the time today. How did you make that change from teacher to horticultural journalist? That was quite a change, wasn't it?
No, that's a good question. I was in New Zealand at the time, and I was a primary school teacher, and didn't think I was a particularly good one, but I always wanted to be a journalist, so I retrained. And it was quite cheap to do there, and quite easy to do, and lots of opportunities, so I dived in.
Right, because I always admire when we're sitting together, you can take copy down in shorthand, leaves me standing. So did you learn that in New Zealand?
Yeah, that was part of the training. You had to do 80 words a minute to pass the course, and I just
80 words
through.
A minute.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. It was one of the hardest things I've ever had to do.
I can quite believe it was one of the hardest things to do, and I just wish that I'd done it. But I mean, you really are now the main voice piece for the industry, aren't you? I mean, you've run some great stories over the years from the horticultural world.
Yeah, there's always lots of things going on, you know, even at the moment, you know, with the bad weather, there's lots of things going on in the industry. You know, with Easter weekend just having been, it means that, you know, people are very worried about trade, and one garden retail chain had gone into administration, and they said it's all to do with weather and cash flow. So another company, Backer, one of the biggest online companies in Europe, that went in administration a couple of months ago. So compared to this time last year when it was very sunny, it's tough times, but certainly gives you plenty to write about.
Well, I mean, March, those two snowy weekends were absolute killers, weren't they, in terms of trade? I mean, there's a question mark two over home base, isn't there?
Yeah, I've done quite a lot on home base because I've got some contacts out in Australia, and they're very interested in what goes on because it's a big foray into the UK market for them, and I'm pretty sure that they're going to try and sell it if they possibly can. The latest figures I got, it would cost them $800 million to turn it around and $600 million to sell it, so they might want to cut their losses.
They're frightening figures, aren't they? But I mean, whatever happens, there's going to be 40 branches closed, isn't there?
That's right. It's amazing how they've managed to get it so wrong, it seems, because when I first met them, I thought they were very engaging and full of bright ideas, but I think they've just made it too Australian, really, and haven't really tried to match the British market well enough.
But it's, you know, it's a tough market. The internet is having quite dramatic effect, isn't it, into all sections of our trade. And then over the weekend, I was watching Richard Jackson on QVC. I mean, it's amazing the amount of plants and compost and stuff that's sold, you know, on television, shopping channels.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's getting to snowy garden centres perhaps hasn't been so easy in the last few weeks, but people still, you know, they want to get into gardening, so they're preparing, so perhaps they're buying more at home. So even then, they're worried that they might not get their deliveries. But, you know, I went to the launch of the Squire's Garden Centre in Woking a couple of weeks ago, and Charlie Dimmock was there, and it was snowing, and a lot of people still turned up, but they all went in the cafe. They didn't go in the plant area, because who wants to buy a plant with snow on it?
Well, I went to the Meadowcroft Garden Centre on Saturday, yes, and the restaurant there was absolutely packed out. But, I mean, once you stood outside in the plant area, the wind nearly killed you, yeah.
Tough times, but I'm pretty sure the weather is going to turn any day now.
It surely will. It's the one thing that we can't alter. But the sun's got some strength now, hasn't it? And so if we get a fine day and a bit of a breeze, things will dry and the trade will just take off. Now, you've got a commitment too with the Horticultural Trades Association's garden at Chelsea, designed by Chris Collins. We had Chris on last week, and he tells us that you're one of the judges for a Dalek competition. Now, what's that all about?
Well, yeah, well, Chris invented this thing where you get one of those sort of, it's called a black wall compost bin, one of those sort of big black compost bins that councils sell or give out. And a few years ago, he had the idea at school of turning it into a Dalek or an alien or a robot. So you, basically, you get a plunger or a, you know, toilet brush, and you stick it in for a nose or an antennae, and you cover it in cut in half ping pong balls or tennis balls or just bits of foil, and you just decorate it as well as you can to try and make it look like this this Dalek, and it's very engaging for the children. And yeah, Chris lent me that idea, and I put it in my book, The Children's Garden, and now it's been used again for the HDA's garden at Chelsea, and me and Chris are going to judge the best one, and people have got to email in the their entries, ncgw@hda.org.uk, but it's all on the HDA website, and yeah, may the best one win.
And the sort of practicalities of it is that they hope that the local garden centre will work with a school, is that right? And the two together will come up with what is a useful design. It's got to be quite good, isn't it, to go to Chelsea?
Well, exactly, yeah. I mean, you know about that better than me, but the that's the idea, that the HTA are trying to promote the industry and garden centres and all their 3,000 members, so all the garden centres and nurseries. So they want as many of them to be involved as possible in this, and to sort of spread the word, because not everyone go to Chelsea, but this will give people the opportunity to, you know, get involved.
And what will you be looking for then?
Well, I'll just be looking for the best one, but I'll let Chris guide me a bit. But I'm looking for one which shows a lot of enthusiasm. I've got two little kids, aged 6 and 8, and you know, I'm sure we'll be trying to have another go at one. We did one a few years ago. And the other thing that it's promoting is National Children's Gardening Week, which is the 26th of May to the 3rd of June, which is a really sort of worthy cause that's been promoted by just one guy, Neil Grant at Ferndale Garden Centre, for the last 2 or 3 years, and he's used a few resources from me, and now it's going big. It's going nationwide. The HDA have taken over it, and it's going to be a whole nationwide scheme. And if you go on the website there, it's got loads of resources, cartoons. Chris Collins has got involved in that. And I think, you know, that's a really brilliant idea to have a proper National Children's Gardening Week just after Chelsea, which this whole Dalek thing will help promote.
And will your book be a bit of a help for all of this? I mean, picture that you've got of the Dalek compost bin, is that a starting point for everybody?
Well, yeah, I've still got that Dalek compost bin. It's down my allotment now. But it keeps on getting blown away in this winter. But and so bits keep on getting blown off, so it needs a renovation. Yeah.
Can you tell me a bit more about the book? I mean, if we're going to encourage kids to garden, they need things to happen quickly, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of leaned back on my primary school years just to think of like fun ideas for them to do, so I thought of seasonal ideas, an idea for each week of the year. And the, you know, a couple of years before that, I'd written a book about allotments, and that was just about things to do on your allotment, not necessarily, you know, just grow some crops. It was meant to be fun ideas. So I tried to think of as many fun ideas as I could, and we took loads of photos. I mean, for instance, pampas grass jousting was one of my ideas.
Pampas grass jousting. Pampas grass quite sharp, those leaves? You've got to be careful with those.
Lots of kids have got knight's costumes, so they wear them. There is a photo in the book of them, and no one hurt themselves too much. So I'm into pampas grass jousting and anything a bit crazy like that, which gets the little boys and girls quite properly entertained.
So do they joust with the seat with the flower heads then? I mean, they're almost like tickling sticks.
Well, yeah, they do. And the one who ends up with the most pampas grass in the end, after a few, they use brooms as kind of horses and do some charging. You could be in the Olympics.
I can see you and Chris together over a couple of jars of beer dreaming up some quite good schemes for kids.
Yeah. Well, no, Chris was great. You know, he gave me the idea that, you know, let your imagination run wild, because that's what, you know, children like to do, isn't it?
Without question, yes. And they're great fun, aren't they? You know, we do a number of workshops with schools, and really, you know, the young kids are just unbelievable. If you can give them a few seeds and within 2 or 3 days they're up, you know, their eyes light up. It's a joy to be with. Now, the children's gardening book, is it going to have a second edition?
Not that I know of, but I have got another book coming out in October called, right, Super Organic Gardener, How to Make a Vegan Garden.
A vegan garden?
Yeah, it's the next big thing, Peter, honestly. Pause.
Yeah. Well, I'm a meat and two veg man, you know.
Well, no. What? Well, I spent some time looking for a publisher, and there was a lot of sceptical people, but I found one called White Owl, who are very good, and they are fully behind me, and there's been a lot of books about being a vegan out, and articles, including in The Sun and lots of other newspapers and magazines. And if you really want to, you know, be a vegan, you've got to think about actually where your food comes from and has it been grown in a vegan way, which means no horse manure, no blood, fish and bone, and being really nice to animals when you're growing it.
Boy, that sounds quite tough.
Yeah.
You know, speaking to Chris, who's now the lead horticulturist, isn't he, for Garden Organic?
Yeah.
He said he likes to be a bit in the middle of the road, as well as practicing as an organic allotment holder.
Garden Organic was supportive about the book, and they gave me some help, and quite a lot of other organisations around the UK were supportive, and there are one or two people who are doing this sort of vegan gardening commercially, growing like veg boxes. A guy called Ian Tolhurst is doing that, and it is a thing. And I've got Cleve West, the Chelsea designer, to write the introduction, because he is a very strong advocate of this area, he's very passionate, and he's been very helpful too. So I think there is a little movement growing here, and I'm pretty sure that it will, you know, reach a little bit further than what some of the publishers who turned me down expected.
Well, we always wish you success, Matt, but I mean, looking out from my bedroom window 2 mornings ago, there were all the feathers remaining from a friendly blackbird that was just starting to nest, and our local fox had killed it. And sometimes I'm not entirely animal friendly, if you get the drift.
Well, yeah, I mean, there is, quite often, you know, it's caps, isn't it? But we'll get your get the birds in the garden. And, but in the book, it talks a bit about how to deal with wildlife in a way where you don't have much impact on them, and hopefully they don't have much impact on what you grow. Hopefully, it's a fine line.
It is a fine line, you know. And when we got quite a big family of foxes, I think living in some school grounds near us. I think they're, you know, holed up under a great bank of brambles. And, I mean, they stripped my sweet corn. They were just ready for picking, and they just crashed them and ate all the cobs. Boy.
Well, I'm waiting for a big slug in any minute now, and how to deal with them is the gardener's biggest bugbear of April, I'm sure it's going to be.
Yeah. Well, you'll have to go out at night, won't you?
Yeah.
Like Prince Charles gardeners, you know, go out with a torch and collect them.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Might have to be. I picked a snail off our patio doors today. Don't know what it was doing there. Don't know what it was looking for. It was halfway up.
So what did you do with it, Matt?
I placed it down very carefully in the grass.
Oh, right. That sounds like a good vegan approach.
Yeah.
Matt, I wish your Dalek competition every success. I hope some of our listeners will encourage schools to have a go. And perhaps you'll come on later on and tell us just what the entries were like and how excited the kids were when their Dalek went to the Chelsea Flower Show.
No, I'd love to do that. Thanks very much.
What's on? It's the Royal Horticulture Society's first Out of London show, held in Cardiff on the 13th to the 15th of April. And of course, as we mentioned last week, it's the Ascot Spring Flower Show too, on the 13th to the 15th. So hopefully some of you might travel out and see what the nurseries have got on show at those two events. My thought for the week comes from Prince Philip, the Duke of Edinburgh, and he's reported as saying, "I never see any home cooking. All I get is fancy stuff." Well, I can tell you, last Sunday we had Brussels sprout greens. That's the young shoots coming from the tops of sprouts. Boy, I do love those. And with a bit of purple sprouting. I'm still harvesting a few carrots from those that were sown in pots. And I've got potatoes from my son's allotment. And so I tell you, we had some home cooking, including the Bramley apple crumble. Not sure that I should invite the Duke of Edinburgh for lunch, but I can tell you, we have home cooking all right. Thanks again to our sponsor, Sutton Seeds of Torquay. And thanks to you for listening. Enjoy your garden. We'll be back next Thursday. Discover more at sungardening.co.uk.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.